In Thousand Oaks, California, Wednesday, 12 people were killed in a Western-themed bar before the shooter is believed to have turned the gun on himself. It has become an all-too-common scene. According to Gun Violence Archive, an independent research group, there's been a mass shooting nearly every day for the last 2 weeks. NPR's Leila Fadel tells us what it's like to cover them.
It starts with a phone call, usually in the middle of the night, and you know. You know that someone somewhere has chosen to kill a lot of people. Now your job is to go bear witness, to try to tell the world why, speak to grieving families on the worst days of their lives so that millions of people can mourn with them, and know the beautiful details of what makes a person special, and what families and loved ones remember about their relatives who were killed. These days, it feels like it follows a familiar and heartbreaking script. First, the press conference where law enforcement officers tell their community what's happened and reassure residents, like Ventura County Sheriff Jeff Dean did this week.
Tonight at 11:20 p.m., Sheriff 911 received multiple calls of shots being fired at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks.
The family scrambling to find out if their loved ones lived or died, like Mark Orfanos, whose son Telemachus, a survivor of the Las Vegas mass shooting, was at the bar.
So we got up, went down there. There's police everywhere, right? And one of his friends said, I think he got out, but I'm not sure.
10 hours later, they found out that this time, he did not survive. Neither did Cody Kaufman, Jason Kaufman's 22-year-old son.
My firstborn son, only him and I know how much I miss. Oh, son, I love you so much.
Then there are the vigils.
Amazing grace.
The community uniting and comforting each other around a tragedy. And then it feels like it's inevitable that there will be the next mass shooting. Since returning to the United States from a foreign assignment, I've covered 3 mass shootings in just over a year. My colleagues and I share the responsibilities of documenting these horrific incidents, like NPR's Nate Rott, who's covered 8 mass shootings for NPR.
The best word I can think to describe how I feel when I have to go cover one of these things is just deflated. And I think the hardest thing recently has been this sense of inevitability that you hear from people when you're covering one of these.
There's this feeling now, he says, that it's only a matter of time before it happens in your own community. It makes me think of working in Iraq. There were years where bombings were so common that we stopped reporting on incidents that took less than 10 lives. They weren't shocking anymore. They were a steady part of life. And sometimes that's how it feels with these shootings. And as journalists, we always think about what information is important to tell the public. I know as a human, I always want to know why someone does something like this. The why usually falls to NPR's Martin Costi to look into. He covers law enforcement and typically is the reporter looking for all the information we can find about the shooter.
I'm getting really worried about that. There's research showing that talking too much about the shooter, talking about his motives, can inspire other shooters.
So as reporters, we've started limiting the number of times we say the shooter's name, focusing on families, on victims, on policy debates. Of course, there is journalistic value to look at motive. A person might be driven by some ideology, racism, hatred of a specific group of people. But Costi says often there is no why.
A lot of times these are empty gestures of violence that we should not dignify with the assumption that there is a reason behind it that needs to be discussed and shared with millions of people.
There's also a helplessness to this work, says NPR's Hanzi Lo Wong.
As a reporter, I wonder, does bearing witness and telling people around the country the hurt, the death, the destruction that people are feeling, is that enough?
We all ask ourselves, is this our new normal, this inexcusable business of carnage? And will we be, or are we already, numb to it? Leila Fadel, NPR News.